This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock on TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is the podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Really, really not that good.
Episode number 149, so close to 150 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, right here in beautiful Sherrard, Illinois, 1600 Buckslayer Place. We're in the Buckatorium, the place to be, if you know me. My name's Steve. In the studio with me, well, we're in his house, Kurt.
Hello, everyone.
Eric.
Howdy.
There you go. And Doug Schmidt.
Howdy. Thanks for joining us, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Welcome.
Doug.
Welcome to the studio. How's it feel, your first episode in the studio?
It's fancy. I feel good with the salt lamp here. I'm feeling refreshed.
Oh, fancy, don't let me down.
How about the lava lamp?
Nah.
No? You're not feeling the lava lamp?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
What do you think of all the Bush Latte ornaments?
Bush Rights?
Yeah, Bush Rights. Yeah, whatever you want to call it, but it's Bush Latte here in Sherrard.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
We're chipping away at the old podcast block here.
Why would we?
I mean, it's what we do. Nice Scent Crusher jersey, Eric.
You like that?
I do like it.
Man,
like
that thing.
It almost looks like a tight. It's very tight.
Very tight.
It's tight. It almost looks like a female size.
Well, it might be, but I could still fit in it.
It looks very nice. Eric's wearing a Scent Crusher jersey, and speaking of which, the podcast is brought to you by Scent Crusher. Scent Off, Game On. Check out scentcrusher.com. Everything from Ozone Go, the bags, the closet, the wash station. They even got some stuff for your boots. And Steve used the Ozone Go. Keeps his car smelling fresh.
And my work truck. So everybody at work appreciates the Ozone Go. So thank you, Dan, for inventing that.
Or have you just not let them realize that they need to appreciate it yet?
There was one day I was stuck at the shop, and apparently some deodorants that I use don't cut it. So yeah, definitely could have used Ozone Go.
We need a deodorant sponsor then sometimes, huh?
Hopefully Scent Crusher makes a deodorant.
They don't need to.
I don't know how they would. Yeah, but yeah, anyway.
The podcast is also brought to you by Elite Archery. We are in the process of tuning all our bows in to where we like them. Between work and Eric working with funky things and shifts and weird shit that's going on, and crazy. Steve doing the same, and me getting ready to leave for Arizona. It's kind of hard to sight in your bow.
Or like should be. Arizona, right?
Well, we have our, yeah, that's exactly right. Great job, Steve.
Yeah, I love it.
We have our shoot this weekend, and we're still getting dialed in. I can only shoot 40 yards in my yard, so I'm tuned into 40, and I've been shooting. And
I think I'm sighted in about 10 yards, so we're good.
Man, we're
I'm sitting pretty good then.
Yeah, Doug's
I'm good out to like 100.
100. We'll find out.
I'm knocking X's
He's pretty confident in that, ain't he?
There's going to be a lot of stuff on the line
Saturday. If you can only shoot 10 yards, I think I can beat you.
I got my option 6 set up this week.
I plan on shooting tomorrow night, dude, until my arm falls off.
We're going to. My arm's going to fall off with the stab that I got on there.
So let's talk about this for a minute, and then we can continue on. So Steve's got the option 6, and like it's like what do they actually call the green? It's like, is it olive green? Is that what they call it? I can't remember what the actual elite color is.
We should know this.
Yeah, it's
can you hand me a soda, Eric?
It's their standard green color, and man, that thing pops.
It's a sweet looking bow. But you got the satellite dish on the front.
Yeah, it picks up everything from ESPN to the scrambled channels that you guys know what I'm talking about.
I thought it was his Arby's plate.
Oh,
it was pretty close.
Arby's on it.
But it's the Doinker dish. And I got to tell you what, man, I'm a huge fan of it so far.
You're the only one.
Here's the thing. No, don't hate on it too hard yet. We got to make our point where we hate on it. I hate on it, Steve, because it's your bow. But really, though, like I like the Doinker dish. I think it's cool. I was going to buy one for the longest
time. If it was on anyone else's bow, it'd be cool. But because
I think it's a good idea if it's set up right.
If it's set up right, yeah. So the Doinker dish, it's the stabilizer. What is it, a 10 or 12 inch you have?
Oh, I didn't measure. I think it's the 10. Well, because you got to... I don't know where they measure that from. I'm like, do you measure it from where the...
Because we're locked the riser in, and to the very end.
I don't know. Where that dish comes out,
it's not going to throw it off that much. It's probably like another 10 and a half.
Well, anyway,
it's
10 to 12 inches. So yeah. You get this big dish on the end, big round, like 6-inch round plate, maybe not that big, and there's weights that can thread in around throughout the dish, so you can put all the weight on the left side, the counter. It's almost like it's supposed to work as like a back bar, but it's way out front, right?
Is that wrong?
Kind of, because you can throw like. Two weights on one side and one weight on
but
the other.
But still weight
right?
Yeah, out front there, no matter
a bunch
what.
Of, there's a bunch of holes around it, and you know you can mix and match.
It's still weight out front, though.
Yeah, you know, there's a ton it,
you
of
You need a back
front.
Bar. First thing I but, thought when I picked your bow up, I was like, oh my God, the imbalance is Steve. Handle this.
But when you get that thing at full draw, and because with elites, when you're holding back absolutely nothing, it feels really, really comfy. You wouldn't think it. The first time I picked it up, I was like,
I don't see it.
I don't know how. And I shot it a couple times, and I'm telling you what, man, for me, it absolutely works. I enjoy shooting that. Now, I moved like one weight over, and it was weird about how much of a difference that made, and it felt even better. So there's a bunch of combos that I think I'm going to just kind of mess around with, you know, if this is going to go here, you know, if you spin it here, keep them all tight, spread them out, but it's...
Saturday we'll know what to shoot.
Saturday. It's one of those cool things that you can just mess around with, and if you can get comfortable with it, it's...
I feel like it's so versatile. Heavy, though. If you can shoot out there long distances, you're going to drop out way more than you are.
I feel like your pin's going to drop out.
Because, you know, you get out to that 100-yard mark with that much weight on the front.
Yeah, mine falls out now because I don't have enough weight on my back bar yet, which we're going to tune her all in tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But
time will tell who shoots better this weekend because we're on the same level pretty much.
I'll tell you what.
Starting fresh.
I can hold that there because I'm so strong, and I get strong by the protein that I get after I shoot my deer and I take them to Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing.
Best transition.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what.
That was pretty good.
I can hold... Because I'm so strong with all that protein.
What are you shooting, 90, 100 pounds? 110
no, I'm
pounds?
Shooting like 145 pounds or something like that.
Oh, cool, yeah. Yep.
And
continue.
And I can do it's that.
Crossbow?
I mean, it's a regular bow.
Wheels are for cars.
Wheels are for cars. So I can do that while shooting an HHA because it's a single pin. So because I use... all of the strength of my body to pull that bow back. I don't have to use any eye strength or brain strength to count numbers. Just one pin.
Okay.
You like that brain strength?
Yeah, this is good. I like it.
I actually said that earlier today.
That was not as a good transition.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, we really do
the good one and the bad one.
We got to thank our other sponsors, HHA Sports and Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing. We kid, but we try to make the our sponsor plugs not as painful as they could be.
We try to keep them lighthearted because like, we want to get you guys interested. Check out everybody on Facebook, Instagram, social media.
We're fans.
You're Google. You Google it.
We love all our sponsors. We're actually, you know, I get the, you know, dope shit brings hate quick, as I say. And I think Cam Haynes might say that too, honestly. I said it, and I'm like, this, and I think, I can't remember where I saw it. I'm like, dang, Cam Haynes say dope shit brings hate quick as well? And I was like, immediately, and I like felt like the biggest poser. I'm like, automatically, everyone's like, yeah, Kurt got that from Cam Haynes. So
you ripped that off someone.
Let me clarify that. But it is true, no matter who said it first.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, our sponsors are like people that we generally have contact with. It's not someone that's like, here's a 15% discount. Never talk to you again. Like we like to develop friendships with our sponsors, and we feel like they're genuine and they're good people. And
well, and we believe in their product,
right? Yeah. You know, especially you know it's obvious. We do. Like, we know Scott. We know Dan. We know Larry and all the boys from Elite and Scott
and
Smith.
Other Scott.
Scott. You know, like we're friends with them, and that's why things work for us and with them and. Unique relationships. Just wanted to kind of put that out there.
Yeah.
Steve, you have a vet shout-out real quick?
Oh, do I? All right, so the vet shout-out this week. We'll get her pulled up here.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Our vet shout-out this week is a Naval Special Warfare Commander. Chief Special Warfare Officer Joseph Schmidt III. I read the wrong line. They're the ones who are looking for him. No relation. He's a Navy SEAL. He's been in the news a little bit recently. You'll have to Google it if...
with caution or what?
No, but if you want to Google him with caution, look up Jay
No,
Voom.
Hold on. No, no, no. Come on.
Oh, come on. It's in a news article. But he's our vet shout out of the week. He was a Navy SEAL for a long time, and he's been in the news for some other things, but we approve of both.
We do? I don't know what you're talking about.
I do.
I have no idea either.
I approve of him being a veteran, and thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. Yeah, the guy spent his time, and yeah, there's just Google him. We approve.
I'm confused.
I feel like we should have listened to Steve more when he talked about
it. And Steve's like, hey, I got an idea for a vet shout out. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, Steve. Anyway, whatever you look up, it's not our fault. You did it on your own device. Big shout out to him for being a veteran. Thank you. All right, we got Clint Casper on the episode again. We're going to cut up with him. And
we all know how that goes.
Clint's a great guy. He's a super enthusiastic. He's inspirational. He inspires me. Oh, yeah. And he's just a damn good time all around. And we wish he was going to be able to make it out to the shoot this weekend, but he can't because it's his boy Easton's birthday party, and we understand that. Mm-hmm. Family first. We'll get Clint on here and start cutting up with him. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, as promised, on the phone, and if you guys ain't strapped in yet, you better be. The legendary, only available on this podcast, being this wild, I should add, Clint Casper. Clint,
welcome back.
I'm going to turn you loose. How you doing?
Well, we're going to start off like this.
Yeah, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages watching around the world, may I have your attention? I have a question before we start this show. Do you smell what Clint Casper is cooking? How the hell are we, fellas?
Steve's like, yes.
Yeah, we're about 13 years removed from that reference. Good Lord.
You can't even hate on a wrestling reference.
I had to bring it back. I saw a thing the other day on Facebook, and literally, I was just a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that. Not really necessarily him, but just the opening. It just hit me. I'm like, you know what? Steve's introducing me. I'm hitting you with it right now. It's coming out.
Well, there you go. You're laying the smack down. You know, you're laying the smack down on those Rudy Poo candy. You know what's and Clint, we're glad to have you. So why don't you go ahead and raise the people's eyebrow and let us know what's been intriguing you recently. I want to hear.
I've been chasing turkeys all over the place. We've been in Kansas and Nebraska and struck out there, chasing around with our bows. I mean, just bad weather, tend up. I mean, no excuse. I mean, still should have got at least one killed, but just back and full draw a couple times and just didn't get the final one. Never got one killed. Came back to Ohio for opening morning. Been chasing some birds around here. Been at full draw a couple times. So I mean, shed season was. I can't complain about shed season at all. Had a fantastic shed season. Ended up with 57. So had a great.
Hold on,
great
how many? Season. How many sheds?
I got 57 total. That's counting old ones, new ones, not counting the two deadheads, but 57 sheds, counting old and new for this year.
Hold on, did I hear you right? You said about seven?
57.
I know, I just had to hear you say it again. 57 sheds?
I think that beats all
57 sheds, and I usually every year I keep kind of a half-assed tally on mileage and stuff, because I got a Garmin Fenix 3, so I mean I can keep up with my miles pretty good on that. And I was right at 278 miles this year as far as just designated for shed hunting. So I'm usually right in that 270 to 300 mark. So I mean I was pretty much right about on pace.
Oh my! And is that walking?
Oh yeah, that's Yeah, jogging, skipping, dancing, you know, backwards, jigging. I mean,
Yeah, son, I can't even do like 270 miles in a vehicle without having to take a breather. Get that breath halfway through.
So 57 sheds, man. Well, I mean, let's talk about the smallest one. Like, how many dinks do you find out of that 57? What's the breakdown?
Oh, I've got probably, you know, at least 15 or 20 that are, I mean, just, you know, I mean, one, you know, first rack deer. I mean, you know, and then I always find a lot of deer that are in that, like, 2 to 3, maybe 4 year old range. I mean, it seems like we have a lot of deer that make it around into that 2 to 3. And I get pretty lucky on, you know, on picking up some pretty good sheds in that range. And then, you know, every year I'll find, I would say probably 8 to 10 that are going to be, you know, well, what I consider real good ones. I mean, going to be 65, 70 inch pluses, you know, for 4 point size, you get one that goes 60 inches. That's pretty big for a 4 point, just because, I mean, you know, you're doubling that plus a spread. You're talking a buck that's going to be pushing 140 as or bigger as just a straight 8. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking 8 to 10 that are going to be in that 60, 65 plus. I got lucky and, you know, matched up at giant 10. I haven't had anybody else scoring for me, but, you know, me and my buddies are just pissed around. And, I mean, we've been right in that 183 to 185 mark. So, I mean, he's definitely a 180 deer typical. We gave him a 20-inch spread, so, I mean, you know, we gave him pretty much average spread, but super long beams, I mean, almost 26.5-inch beams.
I always say, because I'm a measurer, and I tell people, you know, that kind of ask, like, what do you see that makes, or if you have to just generalize, like, or when people ask, like, what generalizes, like, characteristics of, like, a good, solid measured deer, and I always tell them, like, in general, 24 and up beams, like on a regular typical frame deer, 24 and up beams is what you need.
Yep.
You get to 26 inch beams, man, and you're talking about something special.
Yep. I've been lucky. I got three matching sets. I mean, different deer, not the same deer, but I've got three sets in my collection that are all over 170, and every single one of those are 26 inch plus beams. The one is a 27 and a 27 and a quarter.
Shit, dude.
And that deer was a straight 8. That deer was a straight 8 that went 164, and he only had 8 and 9 inch 2s and 3s on the one side, but he was so heavy, he had like 22 inches of mass on one side, and like, he had like basically between main beams and mass, he was dang near flirting with 100 inches. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, it was literally, but, you know, that deer ended up getting hit by a car, and he was a 9 point the next year, and he went like 174. But honestly, he was more impressive as the year before as just a straight 8, because, I mean, he was just so big, and those beams, like when I found him, I was like, this deer is going to have, you know, 25, 26 inch beams. And I put a tape on him, and it stretched past, you know, up into that 27 mark. And, I mean, it was just, that was the first gigantic set I've ever found of, you know, what I would call just a complete giant match set. And, beams, man, you've got to have them. I mean, unless you've got 20 scoreable points, like just a normal 8 or 10, you've got to have big beams. I mean, right. You rack up so many inches on beams. It sounds crazy, but, you know, you take a 23-inch beam versus a 26, you know, on both sides. I mean, you literally just gained 6 inches. Doesn't sound like a lot, but, I mean, that's a lot at the end of a tally sheet. I mean, it really is.
For sure. What, on the set you found this year, when did you find the first one?
First one, let's see. The first one, I got the first one in March. And, that was a towards the end of March, and I remember it was a bright, bright sunny day. I believe it was like maybe like the 22nd, 23rd of March, something like that. But I saw that deer's beam kind of shining, and I thought, man, at first glance, I was like, you know, it almost looked like it was going to be like a leg bone or something at a distance. And I pulled up my binoculars, and I still couldn't really tell. It was out there a good way. So, you know, the closer I got, the more I'm like, man, that looks like a giant main beam. And I got within like 50 yards, and I was just like, there's tines coming off that. Like, that's either the thickest rib cage I've ever seen, or that's a freaking stud. You know, that's got to be the giant, you know, giant 5x5.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up to it and pulled it up out of this grass, and I mean, it was, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And so then immediately I'm like, okay, I've got an hour till dark. I'm going to grid search and, you know, I mean, you know, just try to cover as much ground right there around me as I can, trying to find the match. Well, I ended up not finding the match for, you know, weeks later, and basically on the other end of the farm in a fence row. And all I can think is that he was in that fence row and, either had bedded there for the day or was just crossing from field to field, and it's real thick, bunch of crabapple trees, and I think he just, you know, just bumped it, and it fell off. And I mean, it was laying tines up and everything. I mean, just like someone put it there for me. But I mean, it was just in such a weird spot. Like, I've actually been within probably 100 yards of that shed a couple times, but it was so thick that it's a spot where, like, if you weren't actually walking down that fence or and actually looking for sheds, you'd probably never see it. I mean, even though it's a, you know, a frickin' giant side like that, I mean, it was just one of those, you know, one of those deer where, you know, you just didn't, the way it was laying, you would never see it if you really weren't looking for it, or you didn't just stumble right on top of it, and just got lucky. I mean, that's all it was to it. Just got lucky and got it before squirrels got to it and everything else, and, you know, I was freaking jacked. I mean, I get almost the same adrenaline rush for picking up a big shed like that as I do picking up the head of one I killed. I mean, it's very, the people are like, dude, that there's no way you can be that jacked about a shed. But I honestly, I mean, it is the next best thing right behind killing that deer. I mean, it's almost neck and neck for me. It really is.
Well, they've clearly never met yet because you're jacked about everything. But
yeah. Pretty much.
we got the two Iowa boys in the studio, and you're running the measurements. They're here shaking their heads. They're thinking that shed ain't nothing, man. That's a dog toy. Let them say this.
Doug's got a set of shed. How big is this set right here, Doug?
152.
152.
Doug, yeah, Doug's got a 152 set that he just stumbled upon,
well,
apparently.
I'm not going to say anything about the Iowa boys. All I'm going to say is when in Rome, I'm going to do as the Romans do. And if that means I have to bang my sister to fit in just so I can kill their big deer, hey, it is what it is. Where's my sister at? Because I want to come to Iowa, and I want to live there, and if I'm going to be one of them to kill those big deer out there, I'm going to do it. So just tell me where my sister is at, and let's just do the damn thing. Because I want an Iowa deer tag right now.
Man, this guy's been to Lee County, Iowa before. Good Lord.
So, you're invited to Iowa anytime.
Bring your sister.
Yeah, well, you're going to
bring your sister.
Good Lord.
God, that's the best thing that's ever been said on this podcast. It's funny, like, we always joke about the Iowa-Illinois. Like, we really don't mean any, like, there's nothing serious about it, but... Man, you guys
now
are
we
gay.
Have a guy talking about doing his sister for lamb. But that really separates the, do you really want to kill a 150-inch deer to, what are you trying to do to kill a Boone and Crockett deer?
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, I don't want to pull the incest card, but I mean, if I have to sleep with my sister for a 185, I mean, where is she at? I guess it is what it is. I mean...
This is the last episode of the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Since this is the last episode, what is her Facebook account, and where can we see that?
I need to ask this. Clint, has there ever been any other podcast where you can, like, seriously talk about finding, like, massive antlers and then completely going straight off the deep end, like, just plain crash?
Oh, dude, we went to the illegal deep end.
I mean this podcast, anyone who's going to tune in, especially when you guys get me on air, I mean, if you think we're going to follow, like, a script, or this is scripted, or we're going to, like, be like, you know, okay, this is what we're going to talk about here, and then we're going to transition into here, you're sadly mistaken, because it is hard to tell what may come out of this show, these episodes. I mean, it's, you know, literally, it's like we're all sitting around a fire drinking Busch Lights, and you just, I mean, there's nothing off limits. I mean, we might be talking about Shadows 1 minute, and then Steve's man falling the next. I mean, it could happen. You don't know. You just don't know what's going to go on. I mean, you don't know.
Right. In like 10 years, we're going to be doing an interview. Like, what people didn't know is we actually sat down and we wrote out every single episode, and every single joke had to be approved by a committee.
Oh.
Like the hidden files.
Yeah, the hidden files. Like the behind the music, behind the podcast. Yeah, you know, we weren't really too keen on doing the whole incest bit, but, you know, we decided to roll with it, and it ended up being a pretty huge thing for us.
It worked.
It worked for us. We didn't care about it, but it was best for business.
Transitioning back. Clint.
I think there should just be a disclaimer.
Can't stop
everyone
this
should
trend.
Read. Everyone should just read the disclaimer before this, you know, these shows start, and it should just say, hey, hold on to your hats, crack open your beers, it's about to get weird. If you can't handle that, turn it off right now.
I love it.
Crack open your beers, it's about to get weird.
Yep.
Clint.
I mean, it is what it is.
Clint, I got to ask you, so people are probably sitting here like, okay, you found 57 sheds this year. I mean, you probably found close.
Yeah, how many sisters do you have? Good Lord.
This is, they're probably saying, what do you do with all of them? Like, what happens with all these sheds you find?
Honestly, I keep everyone. I mean, people's always like, hey, will you sell me 3 or 4 of your small ones for, I'm going to make hangers in my restroom or whatever. I'm like, no. I mean, I just, no, like, I like to keep them. Don't ask me what I'm going to do with them. Like, when I'm 70 and I've got 5,000 of them laying around, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, but I like to keep them. I like to display them. I mean, I've actually got, like, probably a couple hundred of them in my house, in my one trophy room, and I'm addicted to them. I just, you know, I'm already planning a couple shed hunts next year. With Skylar and Nicole Richards, two good friends of mine out in Utah. We're going to go hit a few states out there and go find some elk and muleys.
We need them on a podcast, Clint.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it out. I'm gonna call her out right now. Skylar and Nicole, they just dropped their newest blog. It's all about pet turkey hunting in Utah. And the box calling champion of the world, Nicole Richards, you can see her showcase her box calling / squawking spills. Everyone go check it out. We're going to get them on this podcast. She doesn't know it, but we just called her out. Now she has to do one. I know Skylar will do one, but she's like, I'm not big on really doing the talking and all that, yada, yada, yada. We're going to get her on. It's going to be a good show because she's a badass. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean,
We're going to talk all about her. A fantastic episode.
Now,
oh, for sure.
Get her on.
We need legit female bow hunters in the house to just.
For sure.
Yeah.
To talk about finding antlers and everything else and hunting. And they were just in New Zealand, were they not?
Oh, dude, they killed. If you go on my Instagram, I posted a picture of Skylar and a picture of Nicole. Skylar killed first, then Nicole killed like 2 days later. They shot 2 giant stags in New Zealand. I mean, stupid big. Mass, points, inlines, kickers, stick. I mean, just shit going everywhere. I mean, I told him, I'm like, I'm always going to go on to New Zealand with my book and kill one. And after hearing them and talking to them and them telling me all about it, you know, they were Facebook messaging me and, like, you know, keeping in touch with me the whole trip. I mean, I was on pins and needles waiting for them to kill. I mean, it was just like, I can't wait to go there someday and actually hunt one myself. I mean, everything from taxidermy to finding sheds to, you know, guiding hunters to, you know, doing their own public land hunting. I mean, they do it all. Actually, both of them are coming to Ohio to hunt with me, I think, during the rut for like a week or so. So, I mean, it ought to be, you know, they're pretty jacked about that. You know, I told them, I said, hey, you should come out to Ohio. I'm like, and hunt some ways, you know, and so they're pretty pumped about that. So, I mean, when they come out, we're probably going to have to do a podcast. I mean, just, yeah, everybody get on there.
Yeah, we definitely should do it. I know I've started following those guys on Instagram after you were talking about them. I'm like, man, we need to get these guys on an episode right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those two are the real deal. I mean, because everything they do is public land, too. That's what, you know, they're not doing outfitted, guided stuff. I mean, those two are, sheds are public land. Everything they're killing is public land. I mean, besides that New Zealand deal, like, I don't think they've done guided hunts or been on a guided hunt maybe even ever. I mean, everything they do is public. I mean, they do their own homework, and they get it done every year on giant muleys. And, I mean, it's just like I said, they got it going on for sure. There's a lot to learn from those two for viewers and guys like us. I mean, anybody listening, there's a lot of knowledge to gain from those two because, I mean, they truly, honestly know what the hell they're doing, 110%.
Yeah, that's awesome. If they deny it, I'll be offended.
Well, I mean, right now we've got them back in the corner because if they want these Ohio buck tags, they're pretty much just going to have to do this podcast episode and like it. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, realistically, you know, Nicole's just going to have to put her big girl pants on and jump on the show. It is what it is. I mean, she has no choice. That or I'm just going to let Skylar shoot both bucks and use her tag. I mean, it's her choice, whatever she wants to do.
That's awesome. Well, she'll have to do it. You call her out and tag her in this episode once it goes up. And
oh, yeah.
She'll have to, absolutely. They both need to do one.
Yes.
I want to talk about is you have some upcoming hunts here, and I just kind of go into detail, tell the people what you're doing, and can you make a prediction on the success of this hunt? You need to speak boldly, pull a Conor McGregor, and call the shots, and let's hear the prediction.
On the 18th, I'm heading to Montana. I'm going out with a good buddy of mine, Brian Barney. He runs Eastman's Elevated Podcast. He's one of the main writers for Eastman's Bow Hunting Journal. Got to be good friends with him, been on the show a couple times and whatnot. And he said, hey, man, he said, why don't you come out and hunt bears with me in Montana? He goes, we got a bunch of color-faced bears. He goes, you know, it'll be a hell of a time. We'll do some fishing and do a bunch of hunting, and we'll pack up in and we'll just go out there and freaking see what happens, you know. And I said, hey, man, that sounds great. So I've been looking forward to this hunt for a couple months now, and you know, been running, lifting, just kind of getting ready, because I mean, it is a backcountry. You know, you're going to be 8,000 to 10,000 foot. It's going to be a lot of glass and spotting and stalking, but I mean, prediction wise, going to go out there and kill it. Going to get it done. I mean, I'm saying by day four, prediction, by day four.
Round four.
I'm calling it right now. Big old cinnamon phase. Board. Going to take a rage right behind the shoulder. 43-yard quarter away shot. You guys are probably going to hear me from where you are that day freaking out on top of a mountain somewhere in Montana. That's my prediction. Boom.
Cinnamon phase.
Yeah,
huh?
No everything. Radio frequency involved. Just open up your ears that day.
That's it. I'm telling you. I mean, I've never hunted Montana yet, so I'm jacked about that. Super jacked just to go out there and kick it with him. And I mean, he's high energy. He's one of those guys that when you talk to, you're just like, man, I want to hunt with that guy. I mean, he just, you know, he's full of energy. He's always like, you know, every animal he sees, he's like, man, I know I could kill it. I know I could make a stalk on that animal. And I mean, that's just kind of how I am. Like, you know, when I see a deer or a bear or elk or whatever I'm after, I mean, I'm always first, like, my first thing is, okay, I know I can kill that buck or whatever it is. Now, what's my game plan? How am I going to do it? I mean, I just, you know, I feed off of other people that are like that, that just have that go, go, go mentality. I mean, that's how he is. So I'm jacked people out there. I mean, I think it's going to be a hell of a good time. We're hunting in the rifle season, so, you know, with our bows. So, I mean, you know, it's it should be fun. I mean, we're going to get way back in there, get away from people, and we're just going to give it hell for 6 or 7 days. And like I said, by day five, I'm going to be drinking beer somewhere. So I ain't going to have to even worry about it because day four, I'm chilling. Chilling by day four.
That's bold prediction.
Well, day
but
five,
I like
you're going to be swinging through here doing a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Day five, it might be in a bar in Montana doing a podcast. It could be true.
Or in studio. What are the dates of that? Can you say that?
Yeah, I leave the 18th, and I come back on the 25th.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh, yeah.
So what day will you be? You'll be back through. You got to drive through Illinois, or are you flying?
I'm flying. I'm flying just to cut my travel time and everything. I'll be flying out of Pittsburgh. I'll fly straight into Bozeman.
Well, you better have a layover in Moline and then do a podcast.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Oh, I might have to do a little rerouting.
That's right. Depending on the day, whatever round four happens, you might have to call in from the bush, and even if we have to do like a 20-minute episode.
Oh, no, dude. He already told me we'll have great service out there. Like, he can upload photos on Instagram and stuff from some of those mountains. So, I could for sure. We can do a podcast, no doubt, 100%.
That'd be badass.
We'll have to figure it out. I'll be in Arizona here for the next few weeks, so I should be back at that time, and we'll plan something out. This could be a lot of fun. I want round four cinnamon phase, though.
I'm telling you, round four cinnamon phase. He's going to eat a Rage hypodermic right behind his shoulder, quartering away slightly. I already called it 43 yards.
43.
Write that down.
Clint, if it doesn't go down like this, man.
Write that down. The Halon 32 is going to eat.
Just leave your sight set at 43 and you'll be good.
There you go.
That's one more than Jackie Robinson's number, so 43, easy to remember.
Yep. I'm going to set it before I leave, and I'm not touching it.
I love it, dude. I love the confidence, man. It's, I mean, how many bears have you killed?
Right now, under my belt, I've got one big old black bear from Saskatchewan, Canada, the only bear that I've ever been on.
I need to kill a mule deer or an elk in the next 2 years. Otherwise, I think I'm going to jump in the Mississippi and just.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, the mule deer epidemic has hit me so hard. I mean, in July, once I find out what unit I drew in June, in July, I'm going to go out and scout that unit for 3 or 4 days. Then the season opens, I think it's like the 26th of August. I'm going to go out to Colorado, fly out there for 10 days. And I already told my boss, I said, I might not be here for 2 weeks. I'm going to plan on missing just a week, but I honestly might not be back for two. He's like, why? I'm like, because I cannot leave that godforsaken state knowing that it will kick my ass again like it did last year. I was so close twice. And just was not able to get it done. I mean, like, it has haunted me since I've left. I am going to, another bold prediction, Conor McGregor style, I am knocking a mule deer's teeth out in Colorado. You mark this down.
Shoot him in
the teeth. I will be posting a picture behind a velvet-colored mule deer this year. Telling you that right now.
All right, maybe that mule deer is 40-something years old, 3 years out of retirement, so I hope so.
Was that a Floyd Mayweather reference?
Yeah, it was a Floyd Mayweather. I forgot how old he is. Maybe he's only 39.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
Steve.
Matter.
Mule deer is what matters here right now.
A velvet mule deer.
Dude, so
what would you do for a velvet mule deer?
You're pointing at me, Kurt.
Kurt,
what would I do?
If somebody was like, hey,
I would punch you in the mouth super hard right now to go.
No, you would do that if you didn't get a velvet mule deer. I'm like,
should I punch him? I'd punch him. Doug, can you buy me a mule deer hunt if I punch Steve right now?
No, but you can punch him.
Yeah, that's expensive.
No,
that's a dream hunt.
I want to kill a mule deer in general, hardhorn or velvet. It doesn't matter to me. I'm ready for a mule deer or an elk. Like, I'm ready for that.
I'm just ready for something different than whitetail.
I think that I'm going to start
turkeys
putting in for tags in New Mexico with Clint, and then
And let's get a combo tag.
We're going to go.
Because those are easy to come by.
Well,
I feel like
hunting
with Quentin would wear me out.
Well, the good thing about New Mexico is there's no point system. So every year, you pretty much, it's either you're in or you're out, which I kind of like in a way because some other states, I mean, until you got 5 or 6 points built up, it's hard to get in some, like, super good units. But New Mexico is kind of one of them deals where it's like, hey, you apply, you might get drawn 2 years in a row, then you might go 3 years and not get drawn. I mean, it's just like, it's random, you know, it's luck of the draw type of deal. I mean, you know, you got a 50-50 shot, but no, I mean, I tell guys all the time, like, you don't have to train like your Cameron Haynes and run around carrying boulders and all that crazy shit. Like, the biggest thing that I tell people is, for me, what I've seen is you need to eat clean a couple months heading up. And, I mean, you do want to put a pack on your back with 30, 40, 50 pounds and do some walking. I mean, you don't need to go out and run marathons. You don't need to go to the gym 6 days a week. I mean, I like to work out. I like doing stuff where I can compete against myself. So, I enjoy lifting weights. I enjoy running. But realistically, like, you don't have to do that extreme. A lot of it's mental. I mean,
right.
You can go at your own pace, whether that's fast, slow, whatever. But a lot of it is the mental aspect of, okay, you know, I'm 16 miles from my truck. I'm by myself, or it's just me and a buddy. No guide. You know, I mean, you have to mentally have that toughness to push yourself through a 6, 7, 8 day hunt like that. Because, I mean, mentally, it takes its toll. I mean, you know, some of these places I go, you have no communication with the outside world. There is no Facebook. There is no Twitter. There's no Instagram. There's no texting your old lady. There's no calling home. It is you in a freaking trees and mountains, and that's it. I mean, now, I love that shit. I love it. I mean, to me, that's great. Living like a hobo for 7, 8, 9, 10 days, whatever, I love it. But some people, they struggle with that. And, I mean, that's right. What I tell people, like, you've got to mentally have yourself ready for that type of a scenario because that's what you're going to deal with. I mean, you know, and the first time you do, like, a hunt by yourself, totally by yourself, I mean, it is scary. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I was scared shitless that night before I left my very first solo hunt because it's just so many what-ifs and what if I don't like it? What if I do miss home? What if I mean, but once you get out there, you just got to have that, hey, you know, you're back in a quarter, it's a fourth quarter, you got to come out swinging every single day with that mentality of, today's the day, I'm going to get it done. Okay, tomorrow's the day I'm going to get it done. The next day, I mean, it's just, that's the biggest thing that I see is you just got to have that will to, I'm going to get it done no matter what. I mean, as long as you've got that drive, I don't care how many miles you can run, what your bench press is, you got to have that mental toughness to be like, all right, I'm going to stick it out, I'm going to hunt my balls off, and hopefully it happens. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. You can only control so much on those hunts.
For sure. That's good advice. I mean, you have to want it, and you have to think of, like, envision success. And I've never done a Western type hunt, but every year, like, whitetail hunting here in the Midwest, like, I envision my success. Like, if I'm sitting at work and I'm spacing out, which happens a lot, especially getting close to hunting season, I'm envisioning, or like when I lay down to go to bed.
That's all you're thinking about.
Like, I'm envisioning that buck coming in, at like just like it happened last season, that buck coming in at 60 yards and me putting an arrow through him and how I'm going to aim and calm myself through the situation. And,
oh, yeah.
And yep, making sure I know where he goes and everything and yeah. Where, you know, all of it. Thinking through the whole set.
Yeah.
Again, what you're talking about, you always prepare for what you hope happens, but you never prepare for the buck coming in at 6 yards. You know, I was like, I got the spot, and he might be 20 yards. And, you know, when you're doing Western hunting, you might think, we might go to this pasture and things might work out. But all of a sudden, it's right in your face, and it's three times closer than you thought it would be. Like, how do you adapt to being able to, you know, handle that situation?
Well, I mean, like, for me, I know, like, prime example, extra, buck I killed last year. I mean, I bet you I envisioned putting an arrow through that deer 17 million times from last May till the opening night of the season. I mean, I guarantee it. I mean, I literally had myself convinced I was killing that deer in the first week of season. Now, where do I want to have my celebration party? I mean, I think was overconfident because I just had envisioned I'm going to kill this deer. There's just no question about it. I mean, I would not let myself even think of failure or think of anything but I'm killing this buck. But I'll be the first to tell you, with all the shooting I do, all the mental preparation, I mean, you guys all know my background. I shot, you know, competitively at a professional level for years. Dude, when I first drew back on that deer, as you guys know from previous shows, I could not keep my single pin on the deer's body at 23 yards. I was that worked up. I had to let down. I've been shooting back tension and blank mail since I was 10, 12 years old. I mean, like, I should not allow myself to get frazzled like that. But literally, I mean, I had no choice but to let down and freaking regroup. And luckily, I was able to regroup, get redrawn, and smoking. But literally, I mean, you know, you can envision, and I mean, you can prepare, but once you're in that moment, I mean, it's just, it's hard to explain to people what it feels like. But that's why I do it. I mean, the day that I ever lose that is the day I'm going to hang my butt and say, okay, I've done all I can do. It's been a fun ride, but this no longer is the sport for me. I mean, and honestly, that day will never come because I get as jacked right now talking about shooting a buck as I do in the moment. I mean, it's literally just a sickness. I mean, you guys all know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, you guys all got it too, but it's just like, if that would ever leave me, it would totally ruin my love and passion for bow hunting because that's why I like it. I mean, I will work, you know, blood, sweat, and tears all year for that 5 seconds of just complete body overload of adrenaline. It's all worth it. I mean, that is why I do it. I mean, and everyone's like, you do all these crazy hunts and do all this crazy stuff and all this money on airfare and gas and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand what those 5 or 10 seconds are like for me. Like, every single year I will continue to do it just for that 10 or 15 seconds of just pure adrenaline overload. I mean, that to me that's the ultimate thrill. It's, you know, right before, oh, yeah, like, for me, it's when I'm drawing back and I get settled in and I know it's going to happen, I'm going to get to shoot. I'm going to get my shot. I got my chance. Here, you know, here it goes. I mean, that is just like the world slows down right there. I mean, I literally, like, I live for that moment right there. I live for that shit.
Your passion, dude, is, like, so over the top. I love it. Like, you're so inspirational. I'm just like, you're just incredible, dude. Just talking to you is just like, you're full throttle all the fucking time, man. It's badass.
A buddy of mine wants me to get, you guys all know, like, I have a bunch of tattoos and stuff, which, I mean, Kirk, you know, I mean, you're right there with me. I mean, you're addicted to ink like me or whatever. A buddy of mine wants me to get WFO down the back of my arm to finish out my sleeve. And I said, WFO? He goes, yeah. He goes, it's going to stand for wide fucking open. He goes, because literally, if someone held a gun to my head and said, how would you describe Clint Casper and just how he is as a hunter, a person, whatever, he goes, I would just say WFO. He goes, because that's you, dude. He's like, you are wide fucking open all the time. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's just, I don't know. I mean, I just, like, I don't know. I've had two best friends get killed at a young age. My mom, she's had lung cancer for 5 years, been battling it, you know, doing really well and all that. But I don't know. All that stuff has just shown me, like, man, like, you never know what tomorrow brings. You never know what you're going to have. You never know what you're going to get to do down the road. So for me, over the years, I've just developed that, like, hey, man, I'm going to chase my dreams. I'm not going to sit back and watch somebody else do them. I'm going to go do what I want to do, go out there and live it and do it. And you know what? If I was to die tomorrow, man, I would literally be like, hey, I had a hell of a good ride. hunted a bunch of shit, did a bunch of crazy stuff, saw stuff that most people will never see. Like, I lived a good life, man. And I mean, honestly, every day, that's just how I roll. That's just like, hey,
awesome.
You never know what tomorrow brings, man.
I love it.
I do want to talk about tattoos briefly, but first I want to real quick, if you can talk about this, because for our listeners that, I mean, I'm sure if our listeners are hanging with us at almost 150 episodes, they've heard you on in previous episodes. And I don't know how many, what does this make, the four, five episodes up with us? 3 to 5, right?
Yeah, I guess like 4 or 5, something like that.
And they're going to keep coming, man. You're right to talk to. But for people that know you from previous episodes or if they're new tuning in, what's your trophy room like, man? I mean, what do you have? If you could just run through real quick, like what's in your man cave trophy room?
I got 13 whitetails on the wall.
13?
I got 13 on the wall. I've got, those are shoulder mounts. I got 7 European mounts. I've got my black bear from Canada, full body mounted. I got my mountain lion from New Mexico, full body mounted. I've got 4 full body turkey mounts. I've got my elk from New Mexico, my 6x5 elk I killed a couple years ago. I got ear shoulder mounted. I got all my sheds. I've got a wild boar I shot with my bow down in Southern Ohio, free range. I've got I got some small game stuff, some like squirrels and just stuff I shot when I was younger. I actually one super cool mount that I've got that I used to trap a lot when I was little. I got an albino raccoon, full body mounted.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You got pink nose, pink eyes, all that stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm missing something. Turkeys. Oh, I got a full body coyote I shot in shotgun season a few years ago. I killed a really nice coyote here in Ohio. I got him done. I think that's it. I'm going to have a cinnamon faced bear here coming up. I'm going to have a big mule deer from Colorado coming up.
Bold
so, you know, those are in the near future. That's pretty much what's there right now. I got probably a couple hundred sheds in there and a bunch of turkey beards and spurs and stuff like that and whatnot, but yeah, that's
awesome.
That's awesome, man.
Inspirational trophy room. And real quick, because I always get a kick out of it when we get to talk to people in the industry that are tattooed. And it's a growing thing. Tattoos are getting more popular like in our society. And we have we got a podcast coming up here with Greg Litzinger from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And he's covered in tattoos. And he's an archer.
Nice.
He's competitively public land guy.
Nice.
Great guy. Tell people about your ink and what you have and maybe some reactions you've gotten like within the hunting industry or just talking to people in general that have common interest.
Yeah. So basically what I did is I took my my left arm and started a sleeve, and pretty much what I've done is I said, okay, everything I've killed with my bow, big game wise, I want to get tattooed, and I want this start on my left arm at my wrist, go clear up, cross my back, cross my shoulders, and then down my other side where I've got both arms done, both chest pieces, and then, my back. And so, like, right now I've got my black bear, I got turkeys, I got a whitetail, I got an elk. I'm actually going in right after I get back from Montana to finish off my left side. I'm going to get my mountain lion done, and I'm going to get some shed stuff and just a few little fill-ins, and that's going to pretty much fill up my my left side. Right side, I'm going to be adding on that mule deer come this fall. Mark that down. I'm calling that. You're going to see the ink come about September 1st. I'm going to be getting inks for that mule deer. But, no, I mean, I just, I take a lot of pride and I got a lot of respect for, you know, the animals and stuff that I do chase. And, I mean, I just, you know, I just think it'd be kind of cool to say someday, like, hey, you know, I've killed 17 out of the big, you know, out of the Super Slam, or, you know, I mean, my goal has always been to kill the Super 10 with a bow. And, you know, I really think someday I can accomplish that. And basically that's one animal out of every species. So, you know, you're going to get, like, you know, a goat, a sheep, you know, you're going to have a deer, elk, bear, yeah. You know, got a cat, you know, blah, blah, you're going to have 10 of those. I'll never be able to afford to do the 28, so I want to get the Super 10 with a bow. And then however many else I can add on to that would be great, but I just want someday to be like, hey, you know what, whenever I'm 85, the ink will be faded, they'll probably look like shit, but I can be like, you know what, I killed 17 of them, and every single one, I got tattooed on me exactly. What's cool is I always get them tattooed on my body, the last image I had of them. So, like, my deer, the one that I got the tattoo of, he was making a rub right before I killed him. That's how he's on my arm. My bear, he was quartering away, had his foot up on his stump, looking away from me. That's how he's tattooed on my arm. My mountain lion was straight up above me. I'm going to have it tattooed where, like, I'm looking straight up at it. So, I mean, like, it's kind of like the last image I have of all the animals I've killed with my bow. That's how I get them tattooed. Like, I explained to my tattoo guy, his name is Jason. He's a badass bow hunter himself. Actually, he'll probably be listening in. He follows you guys and stuff.
Where's he tattoo at?
Bad Boy of Alliance. Jason Irie is his name.
And
he's
what?
Done, I got next tattoo I get, I think it'll be 15, and he's done every single one. He's done all of them.
What city is that tattoo shop in?
Alliance, Ohio, Northeast Ohio, about 30 minutes from where I live.
I just got tattooed in Columbus, Ohio. I got to get a big shout out. And I know I tried to hook up with you there. We were conflicting schedules. Sacred Hand Tattoo Shop in Columbus and High Street Tattoo in Columbus, right downtown. If I lived in Ohio, anywhere within 3 hours of those tattoo shops, I would be so covered. It'd be sickening. It was just so easy to go in. All the tattoo artists there are really good. And then also, big shout out to Freedom Ink Tattoo in Peoria, Illinois. I just got tattooed there last Friday. So
awesome.
It's a sickness, man. I mean, you get how it is.
It is. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I'll tell you, I always tell people, don't go get tattooed if you don't want 10 or 12. Because if you just want one, you don't even do it, because you're not going to just stop at one. You're going to get one, you're going to want two, and you're going to want three, and you want to get five. It's going to end up being 27. Then you're going to look like a hooligan, and you're going to walk in to meet your old lady's mom and dad someday, and they're going to look at you and be like, what the hell's on your arm? And then you can go in and explain to them how you're this bow hunting imbecile, and you're just living out your dreams, and you're this psycho that runs around the world and kills stuff. And they'll be like, oh, great, can't wait for you to take her out again. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the thing is, I just got my fingers tattooed, like, full blast. And,
You sent me that picture, dude. It looks awesome.
Thank you. And it's, people who don't have tattoos don't understand it. It's like,
It's
like, dude, you just tattooed your fingers, like, you're an idiot. And you're like, yeah, but you just don't get it, like...
Right.
I obviously don't care what you think, like, if I have my fingers tattooed. But
oh, yeah.
It also, it's, you know, when I see someone that's tattooed, it's like, man, you're committed. You're committed to something, and you have passions, and you're living your life to the fullest. It's your body. You can do whatever the hell you want with it, man.
Hey, hunt tattoos are even cooler. Run with it.
Exactly. So, Clint, man, thank you so much for doing this episode again. We love you. We can't wait for another blog. People are kind of hounding me. We'll get it up.
Absolutely. We've had a little bit of a delay, but I promise it'll be well worth the wait.
Oh yeah, we know. Life happens, buddy. It's working class bow hunter. The people understand. If not, they can go back to white collar bow hunter. You know, because that's a podcast now. Everyone's got one. So white collar bow hunter.
.org, because I got enough money to.
Yeah, it's a .org.
An organization. Yeah,
but we're workingclassbowhunter.com. If you'd like to go check it out. Clint, you got a shout out real quick. One last thing to say before we get off.
Well, I just want everybody to know that It's a confirmed thing. We had the blood test done. Lee and Tiffany's baby is, in fact, Lee's. I will not be getting blamed for this one. This is not me. I haven't been in Iowa in over a year. Lee was pretty adamant on me having the blood test done. So we did the blood test, and in fact, the beautiful child of theirs is in fact Lee's, and it's not mine. So this go around, there will be no discretion. Just a little update as far as Eva goes. I mean, I still have that restraining order on her. She just won't let me alone. She has her new book out. It's called Taking Aim. Supposedly in that book, when she's talking about taking aim with her eye on the prize, she, like, describes some dude from Ohio with tattoos. I don't know. Coincidence, you tell me. I'm not going to buy the book. I mean, I still have the restraining order. I mean, her husband plays hockey. He's probably a badass. I really don't want to deal with him anymore, so I've kind of cut her out of the loop. As far as new women in my life, I mean, Miranda Lambert and Taylor Drury have liked 261 of my photos combined in the last week, so I'm not quite sure where that's going. Not going to put them in stage 57 clear status yet, but it's close. I mean, they're getting there. Outside of that, though, again, I'm going to call them out from Utah, Nicole and Skyler. You're getting your ass on the podcast, whether you like it or not.
You'll be forced to have fun with us.
You're going
to
be forced. Mark this down on May 22nd, my fourth day in Montana. I'm shooting a cinnamon phase bear, 43 yards. And then in August, probably about August 30th, perhaps, you're going to see me behind a velvet muley. That's a wrap. I want everybody to go out, chase your dreams, go shoot your bow, go download this episode, follow all these guys, follow me, Working Class Bow Hunter. Best podcast out there, hands down. That's a wrap.
You're the best, man. We love you so much. Thanks again. Thanks to everyone who listened. Follow your dreams. Chase your dreams. Go shoot your bow. We love you.